We are up and at it again with another episode of Fourth in Fantasy. I am Huncho. This is my main guy.
Siriaco, call me Rocco.
Yes, sir. And we bringing it back again. Another weekend, another Sunday. Some more vibes. How you feeling today, Rocco?
Feeling great, man. This is the stretch, the stretchiest of the stretch runs.
Oh, yeah.
Either you're getting in or you're going to be left holding bags right now.
Oh, yeah. How you feeling after Thanksgiving, man? How them leftovers?
Oh, man. I am still so full. I actually went ahead and grilled the turkey. I was a little nervous. I'd never done anything like this before, but I nursed that baby for 3 straight hours, checking it every 30 minutes. Oof. And man, it came out so good, so juicy. And I was actually proud that I actually pulled this off. So I'm going to be doing this for every Thanksgiving going forward. This is my job.
Yes, sir. And I had me some really good juicy turkey over the holiday. And it kind of caught me off guard because typically when you think of turkey, you know, you kind of think it's going to be a little dry on the drier end, but that thing was bussing. It was.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people on the internets trying to fry that thing, and that's not for me. I'm not skilled like that. And apparently, most of America's not skilled like that either, because I've seen a lot of people getting second, third degree burns, and nothing like a Thanksgiving. Like a trip to the hospital because tried to fry that turkey.
I am saying, man, it is, you know, the things that we go through for some good eats on Thanksgiving and during this holiday. But it is my favorite holiday because of football and food. And football is what we got. But before we go into the nitty gritty, once again, as always, follow us on Blue Sky as we continue to grow and, you know, gain a following as you guys continue to tap in with us. This is our Blue Sky page. A few more followers since then. We're almost to 400. It's coming in. We're growing. It's actually been I think we say it every podcast, but it's such a fun ride.
I like that ratio, man.
You know what I mean?
I don't got quite the ratio. I follow a lot of people, but man, that ratio is outstanding.
You know, so once again, thank you all for tapping in with us every week, every show, every episode, interacting with our content on Blue Sky. It helps a lot. It keeps us going. And, you know, we're going to keep bringing the vibes for y'all. But enough of the social media, which is the devil at the end of the day. Here we are. Like I said, we had a couple good games over the holiday. Rocco, first to start off with, it was the Chicago Bears versus Detroit Lions, and the Lions ended up coming out on top on this one. The Bears made it very interesting towards the end. Caleb started off slow. Then towards the end, started to catch fire. He finished with 256 passing yards, 3 TDs compared to Jared Goff's 221 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. DeAndre Swift had 11 carries, 39 rushing yards. Montgomery and Gibbs was the show, with Montgomery having 88 rushing yards on 21 carries and Jahmyr Gibbs having 87 rushing yards on 9 carries. And before I go off, you know, talking more about this game, I saw a lot of people bring up the fact of the ratio between the carries between Gibbs and Montgomery. A lot of people were mad that Gibbs wasn't getting more of the carries because it looked like the Chicago Bears had absolutely no answer for him. So I'm surprised that Gibbs didn't get more of the touches or more touches in this game. How do you feel about that ratio this season?
I think Gibbs, he had a huge fumble in that game that kind of allowed the Bears to kind of get back into that game. So I think that was part of it. But yeah, they're Sonic and Knuckles. I mean, you know, I think I think both of them should get about equal parts of the pie because they just bring so much. They're just so different in what they bring. I mean, Montgomery's the hammer, and Gibbs is just the unfiltered speed aspect. The guy that could take it to the house at any point. And Montgomery's just gonna give you 4 to 6 yards per carry every time he touches the ball.
Nitty.
He's gonna
Yeah.
always get you into the end zone when close. He's gonna always get you that first down and short yarded situation. So I think it's by far the best combo in the league. So it's hard for me to argue, one way or another how they're using them because both of them are just outstanding
Oh
assets
yeah.
in their own right to have on your fantasy team.
I agree with you. I think both should see the field. I think both should be important parts of that offense because that running game is what Detroit really leans on when that passing game isn't going as great as it needs to be. But I hear that Jahmyr Gibbs might just be a little bit in the doghouse because he had posted, some of the Detroit's verbiage on their plays on social media, and the head coach Dan Campbell found out through a press conference, which was hilarious as hell to see.
Yikes. Yikes.
Come on, these youngsters, man, this social media. Sometimes you gotta be aware of what we're posting out, but hopefully it doesn't keep Jahmyr Gibbs off the field too much. And the receiving,
You can't keep him off the field too
oh
much.
no.
He's just too talented of a guy.
I was a little underwhelmed from Detroit's end on the receiver end, just on because Amon-Ra St. Brown only had 5 catches, 73 yards. Still a solid outing, nothing that's going to like league win or anything, but he had a solid outing. You had Jameson Williams, 5 catches and 28 receiving yards, and Sam Laporta, 3 catches, but two of those catches went for tutties. So it's, for the on the Detroit's end, I thought we were going to see a little bit more passing, but it was okay. Now I was very in tuned to Chicago's because DJ Moore had a really nice game, 8 catches, 97 yards, one tutty. Keenan Allen, 5 catches, 73 yards, two tutties. So it's things are starting to come up, and then you know what? The greatest thing that might have come out from this game, Rocco, Matt
What? Tell
Eberflus got goddamn fired, boy. Let me tell you, that boy is out of here. They packed his shit
Man.
up.
Man, I'm very pro coach firing. Just let me put it like that. Like if it ain't going good and it's not, if I could sit here from my couch here in New Orleans, Louisiana, by way of Chalmette, if I can sit here and say these guys, they don't like this coach. They're never gonna get it. The coach has been given way too much time. Then it's time. No need to keep this going throughout the season. And that clock management was just
Oh
awful.
my bro,
I
I'm
mean,
still trying to figure out what the hell
that
happened.
deserves instant firing. And from what I was looking at, this has been a problem all season. So honestly, I think that is one of the biggest things a coach needs to be on top of is clock management because, your coordinators do most of the offensive and defensive work with the players. You need to be on top of game management and clock management and motivating players. If you're not on top of those few things, then just get somebody else. It's not that hard. Just get rid of the coach. Because your season's not going anywhere, so who cares if it gets worse? That just means a better draft pick. Anybody that watched Hard Knocks could tell you that Eberflus is a terrible coach.
He's a good defensive coach. I will give that to him. He was if I'm thinking about the same guy, Matt Eberflus was our linebacker coach at one point in time. And he's a great defensive mind. But as a head coach, and like you said before, one of your main jobs is clock management. And do that last play, I'm like, are you going to call a timeout? Are you going to call? And then the time ran out. You just blew the chance of And that's been quite the, if you look at their, the Chicago Bears whole season, there's like 3-4 games that they should have won. But just because of stupid mistakes, they lost the game. I'm still stuck on how that game ended. But yeah, I'm so happy that Matt Eberflus is up out of there.
And to me, if you're a good defensive coach, then go be a defensive coordinator. You don't need to be head coach. And you can make a good living being somebody's mm-hmm. defensive coordinator. Defensive coordinator, to me, are a dime a dozen. They got plenty of defensive coordinators that haven't even been given a shot to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you get a head coach shot and you fail, go back to being a defensive coordinator. It doesn't mean you need to be unemployed.
Yeah.
It just means that head coaching just wasn't for you. So go back and do what you do good and get out of the head coach's chair.
Get out there. Yeah, go back to your bread and butter. The second game that we had that day on Turkey Day, the wonderful day that we partake in football and food, was the Dallas Cowboys, as you know, because I had to wear the jersey. As you know, I had to wear the jersey, and we beat the New York Giants.
Shit.
We beat the New York Giants. You know how we do. You know, 27-20. It wasn't the most spectacular game, but Drew Lock, 178 passing yards, one INT. Cooper Rush, 195 passing yards, one touchdown. And honestly, Drew Lock had the most rushing yards for the Giants at that. We did see a little bit of Tyrone Tracy being in the doghouse to initially start the game. As Devin Singletary was getting the early carries until, you know, later the game as it progressed on. But you know who I was actually quite surprised or who I talked about last week who's starting to come up? Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson is starting to become more involved in the New York Giants offense, where when I'm forgetting his name already. Who was the guy that retired? He was playing with the Darren Waller.
Waller hurt me so bad.
When he decided to retire, everyone was like, "Oh, Bellinger is going to be the one to take in that spot. Bellinger is going to be the one who gets the starting spot." He hasn't taken that spot and ran with it. Theo Johnson is starting to make more plays and get more involved. So I love to see that from him as a rookie. You know, CD, and you know how I have quite a few shares of CD almost all in all my leagues. He did not have the game that I thought he was going to have. He's a little banged up. I think he's okay. He was just a little banged up. He also dropped a lot of passes. I think he dropped like three that he should have had, which is, you know, uncharacteristic of CD Lamb. And then you had Luke Schoonmaker. Now, let me tell you about this motherfucker. I still hate the Dallas front office for drafting another tight end in the second round. Our second round success sucks when it comes to picking players because we do the most stupidest shit. Either it's taking a guy with injuries, taking a guy with character issues, you name it, right? We didn't need Schoonmaker. He was the one who fell into the injury one. But he and, you know, Dalton... Jason Ferguson's absence, I think Schoonmaker looked really good. So, not really good, but he looked serviceable. Looked like he could play the part, you know?
He looked
all right. And then Brandon Cooks returned. He had himself a touchdown, not really receiving yards, but he did have a key touchdown for us in that game. I think how we're going to lean into the rest of the season is going to be defense. We're starting to get healthy on that end. I think we're going to get Trayvon Diggs back next game because he was out. And then we're supposed to get DeMarcus Lawrence back. DeMarvion Overshown, Lord Jesus, is that man a good linebacker? Such a good playmaker. And just to see him and Micah Parsons ball out for the foreseeable future, man, that gets me so excited as a Cowboys fan. But we're hitting a good stride. You know, we're 5-7. The Commanders are 7-5, if I believe. If they start losing and we start winning and start stacking the wins, I can definitely see us making a late playoff push.
So, let me see if I got this right.
Yeah.
The Commanders are leading the division at 7-5.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are 5-7.
Oh, Philly are leading the division, and then you got the Commanders. But right now the Commanders are they have the last spot in the wild card right now.
Gotcha. So 5-7. If you went out, you could be 10-7. It's doable.
It's doable. And we also need a couple other people to start losing too, because I know the Cardinals are still in that push. The Buccaneers are still in that push. So, we got our hands cut out for us, but I do like what we showed in that game. The third game of the day, it wasn't too exciting for me. It was kind of a snore fest, but the Miami Dolphins versus the Green Bay Packers, the Packers beating them 30-17. Tua had a day. 365 passing yards, two TDs. Jordan Love, 274 passing yards, two TDs. The running games for the Dolphins was damn near non-existent, but you can almost say the same for Josh Jacobs and the Packers. But what really saved a lot of managers this week for both of those players, David Achane and Josh Jacobs, was their involvement in that passing, because both Devin Achane went for 8 catches, 56 receiving yards, one touchdown. Josh Jacobs went for 4 catches, 74 receiving yards. How do you? I'm not the biggest David Achane, person, connoisseur, whatever you want to call it. What did you take from that game? But we saw Jonnu Smith go off. That was crazy.
I mean, as a fantasy manager, the thing that I took away from that game outside of the running backs is that Jonnu Smith is the number one option on the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
And, as much as it pisses off people that have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, it is what it
I'm one
is.
of
I have Waddle, you have Hill.
them.
Not good for us, but it is good for, people that have Jonnu Smith. I have a couple teams that were down in the dumps
Yeah.
that I picked up Jonnu Smith for free, and now I am borderline about to enter the playoffs when I was trying to rebuild these teams. It may be, the issue is that the league is not very trade active, so that's probably why I wasn't able to tear down that team. But I'm on a winning streak. And a lot of it is to do with Jonnu Smith. So I would be aggressively going after Jonnu Smith. Maybe I'm jumping the shark because that's a topic for later in today's show. But he is the number one option in Miami. And the other thing that's kind of disappointing to me is that Josh Jacobs is the Green Bay offense. So, people that invested heavily in that passing game, Jordan Reed owners got bailed out with two touchdowns and not much else in that game. I think he had one big catch and the two touchdowns were in the goal line area. So, that was a bailout for Jordan Reed because he wasn't very involved otherwise. But people that invested in Romeo Dubs, Jordan Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, you're probably going to be disappointed for most of the rest of this year because that is Josh Jacobs' offense.
Oh yes. When he's going, that offense is flowing, So, well, as long as he's getting involved, you still got guys such as you mentioned, Christian Watson. I've been off that train. He makes a couple big plays in the game, but he also drops quite a few.
I got
So,
one left.
yeah.
I got one Watson left.
Oh, you got one. You got one Watson. You got one Watson. No, I have
It's like
maybe one or two.
radioactive. I can't get rid of
Yeah,
him. He's just there.
I got one or two. But I do like that boy Tucker Kraft, though. I think Tucker Kraft has been really good for them. That's another underrated tight end. And
Doesn't
to
catch the ball very far down the field, but boy, is he a yards after catch type
yeah, I
guy.
was just
He
going to say
just is
that.
hard to
Yeah,
bring down.
he's a yak boy. But no, Jonnu Smith is, if you would have believed, or if you would have, someone would have told you that Jonnu Smith would be right now at week 13, tight end four. Tight end four in
Most of that has
2000.
happened in the last few weeks.
It is, Yeah, and then you kind of think about to last year where everybody was giving Arthur Smith some shit, the snap ratio between him and Kyle Pitts. But now we're seeing why maybe Jonnu Smith was seeing the field. I'm just saying, Kyle Pitts is, I still think, is a good player, but I think we also see why Jonnu Smith is, been balling out the last few weeks.
And I'll
And
say
then.
this, that Jonnu Smith is a process guy, and the process is always invest, no matter where they're drafted, always invest very heavily, or at least put on your taxi squad super athletic tight ends, because all of, maybe not all of them, but most of the great tight ends are, just the top athletes at their position. Jonnu Smith, the 88th percentile, according to Player Profiler, 40-yard dash, speed score, burst score, and catch radius. So, that's translating to numbers on the field.
Yes, sir. And the last game of the holiday, or our last game over the holidays, KC versus the Raiders, with the Chiefs barely squeaking by the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell went for 340 yards. What the hell? And two touchdowns. Who do we hope? They got this boy looking like Peyton Manning. That is wild. Mahomes went for 306, one touchdown. But the real star of this game, who I think I knew we were talking about this in our last episode. If Bo Nix has taken the lead on a offensive rookie of the year, I humbly think Brock Bowers has now snatched that from both Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. He went for 10 catches, 140 receiving yards, and one touchdown. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, he was the tight end that was promised. I mean, everybody, before the drafts, smart people were telling people, anybody that would listen, I don't care about how Kyle Pitts has failed you. Some of, a lot of tight ends, it seems like the top one, always, isn't always the top guy in his draft class. Look at Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews on their own team. Hayden Hurst was drafted in the first round, and Andrews, I think, was drafted in the fourth round. And look who's the All Pro. That's just one example, but everybody, smart people, were telling us about Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, don't let him slip. And I seen him drafted at the end of the first round. I seen him, go there quite a bit, and I was trying aggressively to get up to get him, but the people that in those spots, couldn't believe the money they found there, so I wasn't able to get back in. But I do have a couple on my teams, and I am very happy with those couple shares of Brock Bowers. He is, leading strong playoff teams, and he is at this moment the dynasty tight end one. Give the
A
man
hundred
flowers.
percent. Oh yeah. If you really look at it, just for him, once again, he is a rookie doing this, right? He stepped on the scene, and when I think the name or the word generation or generational gets tossed out way too much, right? We always hear that this prospect is generational. Oh, they're once in a lifetime. I think Brock Bowers is one of the few players that has gotten that tag, and it actually is correct. Like, he is generational. He is leading the NFL right now at receptions with 84. He has
Overall.
overall, he has 884 receiving yards, which is third as a tight end. We're seeing Kelce numbers and his prime Kelce numbers because in his rookie season. This is what a generational player looks like. Kyle Pitts was said to be generational. Kyle Pitts, and he plays for the Falcons. And I love my Falcons. Go Georgia, go Dogs. He doesn't come close to what Brock Bowers is whatsoever.
I still believe.
Oh, we yeah, still believe. Kyle, but yeah. Don't drop off that ship.
I'm still but waiting.
Brock Bowers is that guy, and he made that game. KC, I feel like, keeps getting lucky because there's been a few games that they should have been beat. So I don't really care to hear that they're 11-1. I think they should be worse than that. But good playoff teams find a way to win. So as long as they keep chugging away, keep churning, I think KC is good. But I absolutely love the slate of games that we received over the holiday break. It was very fun. Very much tuned in.
And just a quick one more thing on Brock Bowers. Not only is he delivering on the raw counting stats, but he's also the second-rated tight end, according to PFF, right after George Kittle in both offense and receiving. So he's looking good to the film people as well.
The proof is in the pudding, and I'm kind of upset where I went with Odunze maybe at the 103 or 104, where I should have been going for Bowers and just roll with the punches. And you would have got a lot more out of your return. The people that – and, I didn't have too many chances to scoop up Odunze, so I was right in that wheelhouse of picking up a Brock Bowers or so. So I did go Brock Bowers a few times. But I know a lot of people are kicking themselves, like, maybe, and it was always said that Brock Bowers is one of the best, or if not the best prospect in this draft. People didn't love his situation he went to, and we are saying that didn't matter. And it was even quadrupled after Davante Adams got shipped out. So Brock Bowers, you're not going to be able to trade for him. I don't see nobody coming off of Brock Bowers no time soon. He's the future of that tight end position. And if you want to get Brock Bowers on your team, you're going to have to trade for him like he's one of those elite receivers. That's the type of value that Brock Bowers gives you.
Absolutely.
So our next topic, one of our favorite that we like to talk about every Sunday, and what my man Rocco will be leading. He got me hip to this guy. I didn't know who he was before, and I'm so glad that I do now. Our Devy Player of the Week is Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State. Rocco, tell me about our boy, and I have a clip for y'all.
Please show the clip. Tyler Warren, he's a guy that I just recently found out about, and check out some of his footage. You know, he's a tight end. He's not a very fancy position, you know, a tight end. And he's a little bit different from our guy Brock Bowers. And the difference that he brings is his versatility. He has true tight end size at 6'6", 250.
Yeah, so that boy big.
Yeah. And look at him go downfield against a DB. Just mossed him. But the thing I like about him, and the thing that people should be looking at, is the fact that he can play a lot of different positions. This year he's lined up at tight end, inline tight end. He's lined up in the slot. He's lined up at QB. I think that's probably a direct snap, like my favorite player.
Like that boy.
My favorite player, Taysom Hill. He's also lined up in the backfield. It seems like I think we just saw good timing. He got a snap and he's getting 9 yards a carry out of the backfield. Just think about that for a second. He's also lined up at offensive line. And to show you how much this team loves him, and he's absolutely the best player on the team, he's even had 2 kickoff returns for a guy that size. So yeah. If we look at some of his PFF numbers, this year he has a 90.6 grading from PFF, and that's good for second at, you know, overall tight end. He's got he's second in offense, and he actually has a grade that's in line with some of the best running backs in the nation, at an 82, and he's also second as a receiver. The only thing that his numbers are not showing is it doesn't look like he's a great blocker, but when he can do so many things on offense right now, he's just a very versatile player. And I think he's a player that teams are going to find ways to get onto the field. The only thing that I can say that I'm not a fan of is his number, 44. Like, what is that? That's a fullback.
That's Dallas. That's Dallas Clark.
Change it to 87, and we're cooking with gas.
Dallas Clark number right there, man. I hearing from a lot of young tight end prospects, they mention Dallas Clark quite a bit when they're talking about their one of their favorite guys to, you know, play the game. And what I liked about Tyler Warren, so when Rocco was like, our Debbie player of this week was going to be him, you know, I had to do a little bit of studying myself because I haven't been able to get to the tight end position myself yet. But what I loved from him, once again, he is 6'6". He even gained more weight this year. So he's about, you know, 257, 260 on that end. In 2024, he has 81 catches, 978 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. Some of his bigger games, he had against Minnesota, 8 catches, 102 receiving yards. Gets to Purdue, 8 catches, 127 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. And then in the game that we're showing here currently, he went for 17 catches, 224 receiving yards, and 1 touchdown. What I love about Tyler is he's a big body, but he lines up, like Rocco said, in so many different positions. He lines up in the backfield. He lines up out wide. He lines up in line. He'll line up in the slot. He'll line up at quarterback. At 6'6", like, you don't see guys his size do this. And you do get that Taysom Hill type of vibe to his game. He's a tough son of a bitch. Like,
on the whole offense right
literally
there.
He catches the ball and he's looking to get majority of those yards in front of him. If you go look at his highlights or a couple of his plays, you will see him high pointing the ball quite a bit. You'll see him working on that inside, them end breakers. I love this man's game, and I hope if we didn't already have tight ends, I would love for him to be a Dallas Cowboy because he has, you know what he kind of reminds me of? Just, he might be an inch taller than him, and he's not as great of a blocker as this player I'm about to mention was, but Jason Witten. When it comes to his receiving, also another person I like that, you know, is in his realm of, you know, size is the tight end for Gesicki. He reminds me of you know, to his receiving ability, like a Gesicki, how he, you know, would go up and high point the ball. Now, I think he's
now you're telling people don't draft him.
No, listen. He's a lot better than Gesicki when it comes to, you know, usage, being able to, and like yards after the catch. That's what I love about Tyler Warren. And he, you know, if he kind of reminds me a little, you can even point towards Kyle Juszczyk for the 49ers, way bigger, obviously. But though, the way they use Kyle, like, don't let Tyler Warren go to the 49ers. Tyler Warren in the hands of the 49ers will be trouble. I 100% believe that. This is a guy that we could see have value in his rookie year of how you can get to the ball if he goes to a creative play caller. I like Tyler Warren. And I think, you know, how typically tight ends go, if you're not like a freak, like Kyle Pitts, you can see them go in the, you know, third round, you know, third, in the, that's, you know, that second day three of the draft, you know. So and if we're talking about fantasy wise, this is definitely a round two, you know, I'd probably say a round two. I got to do more studies on the tight end group, but I would definitely have Tyler Warren in that top five, top five of guys.
I think he's right now the tight end one for me. He's a guy that may be able to sneak into the end of the first round. It really depends on landing spot for him. I hope to see him go to a creative offensive play caller. Either that or maybe go to the Saints and take the torch from Taysom Hill.
Hey.
And he could be my new favorite player.
Hey, like we can, I wouldn't mind that at all. Hey, Taysom Hill is like 34, 35. Yeah. So if you
and
can.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
The best player on the team can't be no fucking gadget player. Mm-hmm. When the people say that, it just infuriates me. And it actually almost started a fight at a Thanksgiving party. Somebody innocently say, "Oh, he's such a great gadget player." Gadget players can't be the best player in the team. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the most talented player in the team, and they're finding ways to get him the ball because he needs the ball, because your team is better when he does touch the ball.
Yes, sir. And that is our Devy Player of the Week, Tyler Warren from Penn State. Keep him in your, keeping him in mind when you're looking at these tight ends coming up, man. He's a really good, he's one of the ones. He definitely made a believer out of me. But off to our next topic. We're at 12:37. Remember, we're getting out of here at 12:45, hopefully. If we go over a little bit, we'll go over a little bit. But, we're trying to get out of here at 12:45 so we can set them lineups and get ready for that week 13 W's.
Oh, you got a lot of lineups.
I sure do. Now, this has been a topic that was discussed in plenty of my leagues in the last week or two. Should there be a trade deadline in Dynasty? I say hell no. Why is there a trade deadline in fantasy, not in Dynasty, to be specific, when there's so many, you're limiting the activity in the league when you do set a trade deadline. You might get, at that trade deadline point, a lot of activity, but after that, it kind of deteriorates off. And you're not letting people, when the playoffs happen, that's when people want to trade or looking to trade. Let's say a player gets hurt, they don't have that ability to trade no more. So when I think about Dynasty, now this was ESPN, Yahoo, just normal redraft leagues. All right, whatever, have a trade deadline. But when it comes to Dynasty, I don't think there should be a trade deadline. What do you think, Rocco?
I kind of agree with you, but I guess the counterpoint that I've heard, or the reason why there's a trade deadline, is to kind of set a true line to where people have to decide if they're in or they're out, and it does create that flurry of moves right before the deadline, because rebuilders can't do anything, and contenders need to make those last final pushes to make their team, more of a favorite, more of a championship favorite. So that is kind of what I've heard, in favor of a trade deadline, is just to make people make decisions. The reason why I like having no trade deadline is because it keeps all of my options open. Especially, we know weird shit happens late in the season, just the weirdest shit. Like, mm-hmm. guys would just be like, we're not going anywhere. My hammy hurts. I'm not playing in the championship game. And now all of a sudden, a championship favorite doesn't have one of its studs to play mm-hmm. that game. And, injuries don't stop just because the trade deadline happened as well. Real injuries like ACLs, they happen every week. So it gives you that option to try to, secure that championship, or just to give yourself a fighting chance
yep.
that you wouldn't have had, because a lot of people, a lot of my teams in particular, one injury will derail everything that I've built up to all season. So, if I'm in the championship game and I'm in a $100 league and I don't have anybody I can start comfortably, please give me the option to, I'll trade two firsts if I have to get, a solid guy. And that gives, rebuilders, another chance to get off some player and to recoup more value than a guy's worth. So I think it can kind of work for both ways, for the
Yep.
rebuilder and the contender. So that's kind of two of the ways I think about it. I'd rather not have a deadline because, it keeps my options open, and teams that I'm not sure if I want to rebuild, I can kind of just let it keep on going, and if I lose, then I can start selling everything. So that's kind of the two ways, you can look at it.
You know, when I think about a trade deadline, because then you start thinking about, and this is going to lead to our next topic, you start thinking about players that have good playoff schedules, and you might want to trade for those players. You know, I might just have a few that in mind that you should be keeping in mind that, for in these playoff schedules, So for QBs, so I did QBs, running backs, and receivers. I didn't have time to get to tight ends, but I will give a few options based on information I was able to find. But Kyler Murray has a really nice playoff schedule. Week 15 against the Patriots, week 16 against Carolina, then and for the chip, week 17, the Los Angeles Rams. I like that schedule. You're going against the Patriots, who have Gonzalez at corner, but they're not a good defense or just a good team right now. That's be the first week of playoffs. Second week of the playoffs, you're going against Carolina, cupcake. And then you have a harder challenge against the Los Angeles Rams, but I really like that schedule for Kyler. Then you got Jalen Hurts, week 15, Pittsburgh, week 16, Washington. Week 17, Dallas. We already think Jalen Hurts is a league winner. He can be a league winner. Those are two out of those three that should be or could be easy wins for him. And then Pitt is a tougher defense, but I still see him coming out of that, having a very solid game still with the tush push and his rushing ability. So I'm always Jalen Hurts will, and I hate to say it because I'm a Cowboys fan, but Jalen Hurts is one of those people that you should be looking if that playoff time that does have a good schedule. And then you have Baker Mayfield, my boy, my guy. I have quite a few shares of Baker Mayfield. Week 15, he goes against the Chargers. Week 16, you got the Dallas Cowboys. And then week 17, Carolina.
I guess my question is, are we not bought in into the Cowboys defense rehabilitating themselves?
You know, it depends on what defense that comes out and do their thing. You know, we now we have Deron Bland. We just had Josh Butler. He had a nice story game against the Commanders, tore his ACL, so now he's out. So now we're kind of, and then Jordan Lewis had a really nice game too. It really depends. Now, that could really be a good game for Baker Mayfield, or it could be a bad game for Baker Mayfield, especially if you get Trayvon Diggs back. But Mike Evans is, doing his thing, and he's now back for them. And then you got Cade Otton, who I think could still have a good game against Dallas. So Baker Mayfield, I'm riding with him until the wheels fall off. Two more quarterbacks I have is Bo Nix. He got Indy, Chargers, and Cincy. Love that for Bo and how they've been cooking. And then you got Justin Herbert, Tampa Bay, Denver. And the Patriots. Denver is the toughest matchup for him in that three-game skid, but Justin Herbert has also been playing well, and I like him going into the playoffs. And those are the quarterbacks that I like, or playoff schedules that I like. Running back wise, Saquon Barkley, he has the number one schedule with Pittsburgh, Washington, and Dallas. I don't want to say that my Dallas Cowboys are, once again, we're going back to that, Washington, he could beat up on Dallas Cowboys, he might still beat up on. We did a pretty good job of containing him the last game, but it could be one of those games that, and we could also see, as Rocco mentioned before, of teams resting their starters towards the end of the year. That week 17 game, they could just sit Barkley for the playoffs. So you just never know. Then you have David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. Week 15, Buffalo. That's a tough matchup. But then you have Chicago, and then you have the 49ers. Right now, if this was last year, I would have thought the 49ers defense was a little scary. But it just came out recently that Fred Warner has been dealing with a fractured ankle since week 4. And he's been taking...
He's not doing shit.
Yeah, man, what? And he's just been taking pain shots.
I got to sit him in my IDP league. I got to check how to sit him down.
You know, it's not looking... So the 49ers defense has not been the same while he's been dealing with this. So I do love me some David Montgomery and some Jahmyr Gibbs as the Lions do fairly lean on that running game. And I'll try to speed up here because I know we're a little bit over our time. But we have Bijan Robinson, James Conner, and then your boy, Alvin Kamara. And I'll speak on Alvin Kamara because I think he has one of the better running back schedules with Washington, the Packers, and then the Raiders for his playoff fantasy schedule. Chef's kiss if you need a player or an RB. You can never go wrong leaning on those veteran running backs. And then my last position group, we just spoke about him a little earlier in the pod, but we have Tyreek Hill. He has the Houston Texans for the Week 15 matchup, the San Francisco 49ers, and then the Cleveland Browns. And I know we've been trying to ship him off all season because he hasn't been doing Tyreek Hill things, but he just had a 20-point game this previous on Thanksgiving. And with that schedule, I'm riding with Tyreek. Now, he has the schedule. He has the, you know, Tua's back. Let's see if he can lead us to that promised land to end our year. Then we got Garrett Wilson. He has the Jaguars, Los Angeles Rams, and Buffalo. You know, he has a tougher matchup, but he also is wide receiver 8 on the year, which is kind of weird to say because I would never have thought that. I thought he was having quite a quiet year, but it looks like he's having a better year than what I thought of. And then the last three names to round off on that list is Malik Nabers, who is leading the NFL in target share and targets, I believe, next to CD. And his schedule is week 15, Baltimore, week 16, Atlanta, week 17, the Colts. Love that schedule for Nabers, as he is still leading the Giants with target share percentage. And he's basically leading the whole NFL when it comes to target share percentage. DJ Moore, has he been cooking the last few weeks? He has the Minnesota Vikings week 15. Week 16, he has Detroit Lions. Week 17, the Seahawks. I think with, you know, Eberflus being sent out, I think, you know, and Caleb is still having good weeks. Hopefully DJ Moore can continue his consistency and that fire streak he's been on. And then Scary Terry, Mr. Terry McLaurin, has the Saints week 15, week 16, Philadelphia, week 17, Atlanta Falcons. And those are my players with good playoff schedules that you could be targeting if you do not tap a trade deadline. Rocco, any closing thoughts before we get out of here, my guy?
I just wrote down a couple guys. I'm not gonna speak too long on them. I'm just gonna give you a list of names.
Yes, sir.
You know me. I like to shop in the bargain basement, the bargain bin.
Yes.
And these guys can probably be had for a second or less. Calvin Ridley.
Yes, sir.
Great schedule. Cortland Sutton and Darnell Mooney.
I just sold Sutton.
I'm sorry?
I just sold Sutton, actually, this morning.
Yeah, but according to Fantasy Pros, all of them have four-star schedules. One other guy is Jacoby Myers, who just had a big game. He is the top receiver. Him and Bowers are running that offense. So I would try to get some cheap Jacoby Myers. And the guy we talked about earlier, Jonnu Smith, to me is the league winner. Do what you need to do to get him on your team, and I think he will lead teams to championships. That's all.
Fucking mic drop right there. Listen, shout out to that boy Rocco for bringing us some discount. We love a good discount. Well, I wouldn't say discount, but value players that can give you, you know, good points in a crunch. Those are all guys that I would be happy to shoot a second or a third over just to see what people are asking or talking about.
Yeah, some broke buys. That's what I got.
And that is our episode for today. And this makes episode 10. We got 10 of these boys in here. 10 of these boys. We rolling. Like I said, we're starting to catch a stride. We're starting to have fun with this. The season's almost over, but that doesn't mean we're over. We have a lot of more content to bring in the offseason to give, even before we get to the offseason, for that playoff stretch. Because we are in quite a few ourselves as we try to bring home quite a few chips on our own end.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Those Debbie Player of the Weeks will become, you know, 20, 25 draft picks, and we will go heavy into the incoming rookie class. And what to some of the moves to make in the offseason. So just because the season end doesn't mean that we're ending. We're just going to keep on rolling.
Yeah, baby. But catch us again Wednesday at 9 p.m. Central Time. Just bringing the vibes to you. Rocco, as always, thank you, my brother. It was fun.
Absolutely.
And a joy. And now catch us again next episode. You already know we got the dub. We got the dub for the day.
If you didn't know, start Taysom Hill always and forever.
Every week. And now let's go set these goddamn lineups.
Do it.